I want to thank Johnny, this guy. He came to me with his crazy idea. I said, are you crazy? But what he's done and what he thought of with a lot of your friends that I met today, they were very much involved in the decision. But I want to thank our great FIFA president, Gianni Infantino. There's nobody like him, actually, very few.
Hello and welcome to the Sound of Football podcast. I'm Graham Sibley, and as ever, I'm joined by Terry DeFellin.
Hello.
Yeah, we've come back a week early. Yes, I know, listeners. I know we said we'd give it 3 weeks between the World Cup and the new season. Give ourselves a break. Give you a break. But no, the Sound of Football signal was showing above the police commissioner's headquarters. And when you see the signal, what do you have to do? We've just got to come back here and start recording football guff, haven't we?
Atomic batteries to power, turbines to speed, Graham.
15 miles to Gotham. Off we go. We had to come back because FIFA, didn't we, Terry?
FIFA made us do it. FIFA made us come back. FIFA made us record podcasts during the summer. And FIFA made us come back to record more podcasts after the World Cup. Yes, we have come back because of FIFA, because of the news, because of the news all over the place of the FIFA and what they have been up to. So we've come back to share our own thoughts and insights into this and what we think is going to happen next and what we think should happen next.
Mm. I must say, though, that there isn't a broad spectrum of opinion when it comes to this, is there really? I think most of the stuff I'm reading is pretty much reporting the same thing over and over again. And that's the fact that Gianni Infantino seems to be close to the end. There's nowhere left to run for a bald FIFA guy. This could be it. This could be the end of Gianni. Do you think it's the end of Gianni?
I think it could be the end of Gianni, yes. But I'm not willing to necessarily say that it would be the end of Gianni because he's very good at this kind of stuff. And he does have a coalition. Prior to, 10 days ago, I don't think anyone was expecting to stand at the next presidential election because no one was expecting to win. Such was the power of his coalition. I think it was only really UEFA who had the knock with Gianni and no one else. And that's obviously changed quite a lot now, but it's significant. We've had strongly worded statements from AFC and from CONCACAF, and we had a strongly worded statement plus a threat of a boycott. Clear, decisive action from UEFA, which has derailed the whole project of the private equity Trump dynasty nastiness that we were about to get involved in. But what we didn't get was anything from CAF and from CONMEBOL. And unless something has happened, I'm not aware that there's been any kind of, certainly no letter of any statement criticizing the move, but no statement supporting them either, which for me suggests to me that those two confederations are still pretty much behind Gianni. So that's still quite a lot of member associations who I think in theory would go for him, plus a few in Asia. And actually, mate, when the chips are down, it's not out of the question that they might pick up some votes in Europe, particularly what we would call the Iron Curtain federations in the east of the continent, where they don't have the same kind of financial independence as the Western federations.
Mm.
So it does look bad for him. But I don't think it looks irretrievable. It's just, I just don't know if he'd have the barefaced cheek to continue.
Well, there is that.
Even the people who support him must think the guy's a bit of a,
Yes.
At this point. Surely his dignity at this point should say, I'm being laughed at here. I am a laughing stock. My credibility is shot.
Yeah.
I can't continue. But then if I was being ferried around in private jets, rubbing shoulders with the hoi polloi and the rich and the powerful, you know, and earning loads and loads of money. I don't know, I'd probably find that hard to give up.
Mm. Well, we're not going to go into huge details here, but I am going to pick up some bits from it just to see if we can see what happens next and formulate some kind of idea of not what will happen, but what will be the key crisis points coming up, because there will be some major, major crisis points coming up. And whichever way they go will basically map out what the future of football is, especially international football, but certainly club football as well, because there are plenty of wheels in motion as far as that's concerned. And it's half of the reason why UEFA have got beef with FIFA as well. So let's go all the way back to the start, to a series of rather odd Instagram posts, weren't they, from Gianni, basically just telling everyone how great the World Cup was and up yours to the haters, because all my celebrity friends loved the World Cup and you hated it and you were wrong because we were so successful. To those people behind the pens, the papers, behind the screens, spreading hate and false rumours, I want to say that while you are sitting behind, we at FIFA are on the front lines, organising, working hard and delivering the best show in the world. While you hide, we are exploring the streets of Canada, Mexico and the United States, talking with fans, engaging with people, ensuring everyone's safety. While you divide, we unite. People come together as families, as fans, as one. Yeah, he might have had a few pops before he wrote that one out, but this is where he was a week ago.
Audible hopes you enjoyed this program. That was beautiful. Graham, go red.
It was strange, even for Gianni, but was that somehow a window into his hubris, Terry?
Yeah, definitely. It was certainly a 2026 equivalent of today, I feel, wasn't it? Just using Instagram rather than a press conference. If we remember the today, I feel, press conference, he is given to this kind of whimsy, frankly. He's clearly convinced himself of the things that PR people say externally. The best PR people are the people who, generally speaking, believe what they are saying, even if, you know, it's completely not true. It's quite normal to say, this has been the most successful World Cup ever, because there's always a metric somewhere that you can look at and hold up and say, this is why.
Yeah.
But the tone, obviously, and the somewhat erratic, dare I say, chaotic, and certainly, yes, hubristic tone that he adopted, actually seems, yeah, like you say, he's maybe had too many pops, maybe. I'm assuming that Gianni has people to look after his socials. He doesn't do it himself. No self-respecting social media professional is writing that one.
No, but if he's been hanging around with Trump for a long time, you know, he probably has got access to it himself, so he can start bashing it out. So, yeah, yes. I need to open up notes so I can put something on Instagram. The next one was great, though. The next one was even more pointed. Indeed, arguable referees' decision or strange disciplinary rulings, such as, for instance, potential mistaken red or yellow cards or subsequent decisions not to ban players in certain situations, are routine and widely accepted in some of the biggest leagues worldwide. It's curious that the same countries employing these practices are the ones criticising. My word.
My goodness.
Gianni.
Yeah,
Gianni,
powerful
Gianni.
Stuff, isn't it?
It is.
Gianni, you're full of the big S there, Gianni. That just isn't true. That just isn't true. I mean, like, you know, if something like that was to happen in the Premier League, there would be absolute uproar.
Mm.
Absolute uproar.
And that's why there was uproar.
Yeah. Willfully changing the rule, like utilising the mistaken identity rule to catch people out on diving. Bending those rules to the point where IFAB had to say, no, that is not what this is for.
Yeah.
It feels to me like, more broadly about the World Cup, and I think we've talked about this a little bit when we did our reaction, but when you use dynamic ticket pricing,
yeah,
then the incentive is to get the biggest draw to the final or keep them as far in the competition as possible, because that's how you're going to make even more money.
Mm.
If you have fixed pricing, of course, it doesn't matter who wins. It kind of does, but it's less important who wins and who goes through and who stays in the final. So what I'm saying is that if you have dynamic ticket pricing and Leo Messi is in the final, you're going to charge a lot more for your tickets. That doesn't necessarily follow that FIFA are going to cheat. But when you see peculiar decisions and obfuscations of the rules, it's easy to make that kind of conclusion. And it doesn't matter whether it's true or not, Graham, because once you get a critical mass of people who think it, then you lose credibility and you lose confidence, which I think is what has happened here. Of course, Gianni then has gone on to do more to lose even more confidence. But it had been an objectively successful World Cup. It had also been an objectively good World Cup as well. I mean, in a very, very good World Cup, given there was a lot riding on it, a lot of concerns about the hosts, about the US, it's definitely had some downsides, but generally speaking, it's been a decent World Cup beyond the stuff that we've talked about. The TV revenues are down, but that's because it's in the United States for the most part, out of European time zones. That's to be expected. You've got to take the hit on that, and that's fair enough. As World Cups go, it was not a failure, and it wasn't a poor World Cup. And so really, Gianni, all he had to do was nothing.
Yeah. Those 200 letters supporting him had already come in. No one was going to stand against him in the election next March. Nothing was going to happen. Yeah. November would come and gone, and no one would have batted an eyelid at the next election for FIFA president. But, of course, the day after he sent these strange messages on Instagram, it was revealed that he was trying to sell off part of the World Cup, 20% of the commercial arm of FIFA. Now, personally, I quite like the idea of separating the commercial and the regulatory of a football federation. I think that is fundamentally a good idea. However, it's not good to do it and sell it off to private equity. That is not the way you do it, Gianni.
It's the way Gianni does it.
Yes, well, you know why Gianni does it? Because Gianni is not a football person. Never has been. And he's just a lawyer. That's all he is. He's a lawyer. He's never, ever played the game, as far as I know. He's never managed or coached in the game. He's never administered the game. Never even done that. Never even, wasn't even part of the Swiss Federation. He was a lawyer who worked for UEFA and did very well there because he's a lawyer. And you need lawyers.
Oh, and also because he's a terrific broadcaster. Sound of Football, we were Team Gianni. He was bald UEFA guy.
He was.
And that was a term of endearment because he used to do the Champions League and the Euro draws.
Yeah.
And he was brilliant at it.
He was.
And we loved him.
He
and we couldn't remember his name, so we called him bald UEFA guy.
But now he's far too famous for that. If we saw him at a party and said, hey, it's bald UEFA guy, he'd just blank us, wouldn't he?
He would. We would never be invited to the kind of parties that Gianni gets invited to. Yeah, either now or in the future.
Yeah, it took us a long time for us to start even calling him bald FIFA guy, wasn't it, really? It was. We just stuck to the old ways, didn't we? You know what we like.
Yeah, because it's the sound of football and we do like to stick to the old ways.
So anyway, this idea comes out and it falls flat. Everyone hates it because it's a hateable idea. He's basically selling it off to Trump's cronies. And all of the last 2 years makes sense. And so we all jump to the same opinion that Gianni is basically grifting. He's taking all the money he can out of the operation, whether that's true or not. But yeah, he's tried this caper before. He tried this back in 2018, tried selling it to the Japanese bank SoftBank. This was also when he was really trying to expand the Club World Cup, which he got away with eventually. And it was the first time that UEFA started saying, hold your horses, mate, stop that. And that's when they fell out with him. And it's been getting worse for the last 8 years. And now it's this time. So it's no wonder that UEFA have stepped back and seen all these things. If you lift off the litany of things that have pissed Seferin off, it is growing and growing and growing. And basically, I think the Balogun red card was just the final thing. That was the tipping point. So when something like this comes along, I think it made it very, very easy for UEFA to just go, yeah, let's go to war.
It would have been reason enough to have gone to war were it also not for the fact that, and just quick props to Martin Ziegler here,
who's done some
stellar work here. I mean, like, you know, pin a medal on that dude. If the story hadn't have broken and then it would have been announced, and it would have been so close to being launched that UEFA would have had, or anyone would have had, very little time to come up with a more considered, less dramatic approach, because they would have just gone, well, you know, okay, all right, this is a few months off, or, you know, or even maybe a year off. We've got time. Let's sit down. Let's work out a strategy and how we're going to combat this without pushing any nuclear buttons. But because it was so imminent, they really did have no choice but to appeal to what were probably actually their first instinct was like, we're sick of this dude. We're kind of sick of FIFA. We're sick of being pushed around and we're going to push back now. First of all, initially that condemnation, and then finally they all had a Zoom call, or it may have been Teams, I don't know. And they unanimously decided that they were going to boycott FIFA competitions as of now, basically, unless the plan was completely scrapped and it was said that the plan would be completely scrapped. And then, yeah, obviously AFC and CONCACAF came in as well, but not to the extent, they weren't threatening anybody, but they don't have to, because it's UEFA who are the guys with the big trousers in this scenario. Obviously, UEFA, Europe, they're comfortably the biggest market in football. If they say, we're not doing this anymore, then it doesn't exist, frankly. Certainly in the case of the World Cup, definitely in the case of the Club World Cup. You know, if they were to say, so... It was all a bit scary, to be honest with you, because my first thought, and I mean, and I'm not just saying this to be overly worthy, but obviously I do follow the Lionesses and I do avidly watch the Women's World Cup and the Women's Euros and Women's International Football. And my first thought was, well, does that mean basically that next year's World Cup is going to be cancelled? Because if UEFA aren't going, then what's the point? It's not a World Cup. It becomes an interconfederational tournament, which is not the same thing and doesn't roll off the tongue as well.
Well, as far as we know, even though Gianni has supposedly seen sense and cancelled this and said, no, we're not going to go ahead with it, I think the boycott is actually still on.
Oh, really?
Well, the wording is clear. I'm doing a lot of reading today. For so long as these proposals remain alive, unless this proposal has been abandoned in its entirety and binding assurances have been given that FIFA will never again open its governance or competitions to private ownership. I think that's the important line. It's the second half of that, isn't it? It's not just stop it. It's never, ever do this again. And I think unless they get those assurances, and I don't think FIFA have provided those assurances, as far as I read that, if Seferin is serious about that statement, the boycott is still on, which God knows what that means for next summer's Women's World Cup. God knows what that means for next month's under 20 Women's World Cup in Poland.
Well, when I feel that the timetable will be less, because what we have also know is that UEFA have proposed a vote of no confidence.
Yeah.
In January. I don't know how that works, and I don't know what the timescale of that is. It might well be that the UEFA will maybe do nothing until that scenario plays out, because I think the feeling is that if Gianni goes, then maybe the situation's up in the air. You know, let's be clear, UEFA are not, I mean, it's great that they're doing it, that they've done this and they did it in this way, but then they're no one's heroes, and, you know, they have problems of their own and they are problematic in of themselves. They would be seeing this as an opportunity to realign power back towards them.
Yes.
And that's where things could get a bit sticky. But I would feel that there's still enough room in the calendar to allow underage tournaments to continue, qualifying playoffs for the World Cup to continue. I think it all starts to get tricky the closer we get to the Women's World Cup next year. But hopefully by that point, the situation with Gianni will be resolved one way or another. If he's still there, and if there have been no such undertakings by FIFA, then yeah. And do you know what, Graham? UEFA should stick to it.
Yeah.
They should do it. I mean, it kind of breaks my heart to think about those players who won't get the opportunity to play in a World Cup. But sometimes I think this is the right thing to do under these circumstances, is to stick to their guns, because there is a possibility of making things a little bit brighter in the future.
Yeah. Yeah. It is harsh, but I can't see UEFA backing down. I can't see Seferin backing down until Infantino's gone. And I think that's why they issued the no confidence in him. Whether that's unanimous as well, I don't know. But that's 55 votes. That's a lot of people. That's a lot of people who are on the executive committee there voting against him. That, and he's got two of his biggest supporters there have turned on him as well and come out with some pretty incendiary stuff.
Yeah.
His chief advisor, his chief operating officer, this is the guy who is in charge of legal in finance as well. So this is the guy who should be central to the whole thing, Kevin Lamour. And his statement was just damning, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Infantino was out of control. He doesn't do anything that any committee says. He just does everything on his own decisions. And it's his own personal fiefdom. But if you consider the people he's been hanging around with for the last 10 years or so, it's no surprise, is it? He's been rubbing shoulders and making friends with the worst people in the world, hasn't he?
Yeah, basically. And he's just got their ideas off of them and thinks that he can get away with it in the way that the worst people in the world do tend to get away with it, or at least up to now have. I mean, the worst people in the world oftentimes find themselves swinging from a lamppost at some point if they're not careful. But many of them don't, of course. Many of them die peacefully in their beds.
Mm.
But Gianni has clearly got the populist Bond villain power mad drug and clearly sees himself as a head of state and sees FIFA. I think we saw this a bit with Blatter. I think he regarded FIFA almost as if it was a state in itself, rather than just an organisation that hosts and organises football tournaments. So I think he's got massively carried away with himself. He's become unduly influenced by the worst kind of people. I think Lamour's statement was not just damning for what he was seeing, but I suspect he was also, what he was actually also saying was, when these guys get knocks on the door, don't come knocking on my door. I know nothing about this. Yeah. So if Mr. Plod comes along and says, what's going on here? Then this guy's like saying, that nothing to do with me. I was not in the room when any of this happened.
Yeah.
And I guess he's also protecting his staff as well.
Yeah.
Because I would imagine that the whole DOJ investigation when Blatter was president, that would have been a very, very difficult and uncertain time for a lot of people who work for FIFA, many of whom, and indeed possibly most of whom, are just people who have jobs and do jobs and probably actually to a degree feel as though they're kind of innocent all of this. They're just trying to do a good job at doing what they're doing. My missus knows, not personally, but knows through business connections, you know, has dealings with a couple of like, you know, FIFA people, you know, in middle management. And they're nice people who really like football and really sort of like think, you know, they think the World Cup is great and they like what they're doing. They've told her all manner of stuff, which I'm not in a position to repeat. And I think as a COO, you're probably looking at it and thinking, well, I've got to say something, one, to protect me, but also to protect my staff and the team, because this guy's just gone rogue, which does for me point to the fact that he's just got to go, because I mean, he's not going to be able to walk into the office on a Monday morning. No one's going to give him the time of day. He'll have no credibility, no authority, I would have thought. People are just, they must look at him and think, well, you know, you've just flushed us all down the toilet, mate. You're a crook. For the benefit of Gianni's lawyers, he is not a crook. But, you know, you're a grifter.
We may never know. It depends on whose side the guy who operates the shredding machine is on right now. But it wouldn't have surprised him this morning if he'd got back to work and the locks had changed. It would.
Yeah.
I don't even know if he's in Switzerland. I think he's probably at Trump Tower right now.
Hmm.
Of course, this only happens a couple of days after Trump builds up Infantino to be a future Director General of the UN.
Yeah.
This is the scale of his ambitions.
Yeah.
I'm not surprised, because he hangs around with billionaires. All right, he's well remunerated by FIFA. He's on £6 million. But I think it was Kieran, Swiss Ramble, pointed out, it's small beer compared to what the guy who runs NFL earns. He earns £64 million a year.
Mm.
And Gianni only is a tenth of that. So I'm not surprised that if he was just feeling, when's it Gianni's turn, eh?
Yeah.
Some of this ridiculous money. And obviously he must have thought that. He must have had Trump in his ear and saying, look,
hey, Gianni, you're worth more than this. Come on board with us. Like, this is what you do. And then when your terms are up, then you have a nice cushy job with us. We'll pay you like a stack of money and you can manage this new caper with us. Mm. And we'll all get rich. You, or in Trump's case, even more rich.
Yeah.
It just absolutely reeks, doesn't it?
It does.
The thing is, Graham, I think there is a world in which being the president of FIFA is as ceremonial as you want it to be. I reckon that is a kind of job that I would love, because I would just defer and delegate all the hard stuff to everyone and I would just swan around private jets, meeting with powerful people, going to watch football matches for free, making a few speeches here and there, talking about the good of the game. And that's it. That's what I'd do. And then draw a £6 million a year salary. And that's it. And then I'd do my term and off I'd go.
Yes.
And I would have done no harm to anyone. I'd have massively enriched myself, but I'd have done no meaningful harm. I might not have done any good, but I wouldn't have done any harm. This is a gig where actually you don't have to do much to make this kind of gig work, because you can make all the hard stuff, even give all the strategy stuff to your underlings and let them do it. And then, you know, you just rubber stamp it and then off to the next game, off to the next hotel, drawing a fat salary. It's such a sweet gig. It's like,
it really is.
That should be enough.
It is. And as well, you get to play Santa with all that World Cup money. You can say, yeah, you get a stadium and you get a training ground and you get a training ground. You could be Oprah, couldn't you?
Yeah. And you just travel around opening them.
Yeah.
And all of these people are so happy for you.
Yeah.
And you just get to be this wonderful hero who goes around, big smile on your face. How's it going? Good to see you. Yeah. You want a training ground? Yeah, no worries. Oh, man, you're running a bit short on training this. Yeah, don't worry about it. Like, done. All done.
All done.
And then, yeah, if you need to facilitate, because, and I've said this before, FIFA is a transnational organisation. In some parts of the world, it's perfectly fine to facilitate deals through the use of cash stuffed in brown envelopes.
Yes.
It is.
It is. It is.
And it is. Every nation has its own form of corruption, including the United Kingdom.
Yes.
Especially the United Kingdom.
We taught it. We exported it to the world. Come on.
So, you know, you do have to sort of like be a bit morally flexible. I get that. But this obviously is like next level, egregious greed, just general ghastliness and a complete and utter abuse of a power and of a job that most people would give their left arm for.
It's the litany of things that he's done. He's just basically been able to get away with whatever he decides, expanding the Club World Cup to begin with, and then completely underwritten by Saudi Arabia, just one member, giving of Saudi of a World Cup unopposed. That's all him. Mm. And then even the smaller things like just parachuting into Miami into said Club World Cup.
Mm.
And then getting a player out of a suspension just because a president gave you a phone call.
Yeah.
That's just wrong. Just thinking you can get away with it and say, look, it's normal. Yeah. It's normal. Yeah. This is my acceptable level of corruption. That's obviously what it is. And people are looking at it going, well, okay, that's your level of corruption. That's a bit too much, thanks. Can you at least be a bit more sneaky about it, please, rather than just being so bloody upfront and writing Instagram notes about it?
Yeah. The current president of the United States gets away with it because literally he's the commander-in-chief of the largest armed forces on the planet.
Yes.
So, you know, he's a difficult guy to come after, frankly. It's like, so, yeah, but Gianni has no such protection and his vulnerability is very, very clear. As I said, if he remains utterly dogged, he could hang on. But it equally, it could easily be the end of him. Who knows? He could even be gone by the time we publish this podcast. But I'd be really surprised if he was to turn it in.
I would. So, well, let's think about the near future then. Let's think about the near future for Gianni. Now, he's sat in his office. He's still full of hubris because he's Gianni. His best laid plans of Gangathlay. And now he's sitting there thinking, what next? What next for Gianni? Because he obviously refers to himself in third person. He's that kind of guy, isn't he? He really is. What next for Gianni, baby? You can't put yourself in his shoes, obviously, because they're just far too big, aren't they? So what do you think his get out is? How does he get out of this? Does he just grift? Did he find the 106 worst member associations and say, right, you back me and I will get through everything. I'll be fine.
Yeah. On the note on his shoes, of course, he wears those hideous white trainers with tailored suits, which is enough, frankly. That is enough. Mm. Never mind the rest of it. It's an absolute abomination.
That's what he'll be hanging from on the lamppost, is it? Yeah. He should know it doesn't actually work out well for bald-headed guys with Italian names. I'm just saying. Okay. No,
it doesn't indeed, no. So, I mean, I think Gianni being Gianni, from what we know of him, he will not go quietly into the night.
Mm.
I don't believe that it is the service revolver and a walk in the woods for Gianni. I think what's more likely is what you've just posited, and that is, yeah, he'll get his coalition together and he'll make a deal for money. So money will change hands, I think. More FIFA money, a larger proportion of FIFA money than before. I think that he'll look to his base. I think CONMEBOL is a large surface area, but only a small number of actual federations. But I think that he's got them. And CAF, well, CAF's a slightly, got many federations, but there's also, I think there's a delineation to be made between sub-Saharan and North African Arab federations. So I think that that's a difficult one, but he'll basically, I think he's going to be on the phone.
Yeah.
He's going to be on the phone, talking to the MAs, canvassing opinion, and if he thinks he's got enough to keep him going, then he will wait till election time. The only thing that I don't know is how this vote of no confidence thing happens. Obviously, if that happens, then of course it's a different matter and he's out. And I assume he'll be out, you know, before the end of the year. What I don't think has happened, he's there's no way he is going to quit. Absolutely no way. He'll feel as if he can ride this out.
Yeah, and that's the thing. He has to stand up to that vote of no confidence. And even if he does win it, if it's approaching half, that basically doesn't put him in any situation at all. He's got to quit, you would think.
You would think so, but I suspect he wouldn't. I think he'll carry on.
Mm.
It's like Farage and Binface. Binface takes more than 1,000 votes off Farage. Farage still wins, but his credibility is shot to pieces.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess we could stand Binface as the president of FIFA.
That would work.
Worse things could happen for us. But
Actually, that would work. Yeah. Because before he gave up on the idea, there was one statement he made, and it was basically a statement to associations individually rather than confederations, to say vote on your own, just don't listen to your confederation. And I think that's what pissed off UEFA even more, and I think it's what pissed off CONCACAF and AFC as well, because UEFA's power is strong, they have a lot of power, but these other ones don't. And they're only a couple of steps away from being like CAF, which is really just a subsidiary of FIFA now. It is basically managed by FIFA poorly as well. If you want to know why they haven't come out with a statement, it's probably because they haven't got their arse together to actually put one out. And don't expect one before January. But CONCACAF, I was amazed that CONCACAF went, because there are lots of tiny, tiny little member associations there who would have looked at that $40 million and gone, I'll trouser that, thank you very much. With the two insiders there, depends if we've got any more come out. I think if they were, they may have already come out. But the position of those two, I don't think you can get many people higher than those two in the organisation to come and say something. So really, or you'd only be getting people that would just be supporting what has been said there already.
Yeah.
But I think at the moment, because of the stance that UEFA have taken, it seems to me anyway that the other confederations know that there is no way back for Gianni, even with the money, even if he does amass 100 member associations from every corner of the world. The fact that UEFA have pressed the nuclear button and they want him gone is enough to say, well, there is no way you can survive, because if they go through with this boycott, that's it. Everything is toast.
Yeah. UEFA nations withdrawing from the FIFA calendar, I guess, completely, which conceivably, I think it was Steve Gabb on Blue Sky who suggested that that would mean that the actual UEFA-based internationals that play outside of UEFA would not, there'd be no obligation to send them to clubs go and play for their country.
Yeah, clubs wouldn't need to send players off to South America to go and play for them.
So that's the end of international football.
Yeah.
Or at the very least, it's a suspension of international football until something new can happen. There's that much at stake, is the possibility of there not actually being a men's World Cup in 2030, that the World Cup not lasting 100 years, where 3 weeks ago we would have said that it was an eternal competition. Yeah. It might well be the last surviving aspect of civilization on our planet is the FIFA World Cup. I mean, it'll continue. Of course it will, because, you know, it'll just do it without FIFA. But, you know.
Yeah. While we may, in Europe, may think, well, that's okay. The qualification for that doesn't start for another 2 years. Well, it does start a lot sooner than that if you are in other parts of the world, because they start a lot earlier than we do in Europe. By the time we start, a lot of confederations are very, very deep into their qualification process. And if you've got countries that are now having to face up to qualification without their European-based players, you've got a lot of teams that are going to be thinking, how the hell are we going to do this? That could prove very difficult for a lot of African nations.
Yeah.
If none of their players in France can come over, then... Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, it guts entire squads.
Yeah.
Absolutely guts entire squads. I mean, it doesn't do much for a lot of South American squads as well, given how many European-based players they have. That you would think they would manage a little better, but only a little.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, yeah. So, you know, the stakes are obviously very, very high. So I think, you know, what needs to happen next is obviously Gianni needs to go. Best thing for him to do would be to walk. Second best thing is that he fails a vote of no confidence. Third best thing is that we wait until the election and he gets voted out and then goes kicking and screaming, possibly trying to organise a coup while he's at it. And then we go from there.
Yeah, I mean, I can just see him asking his supporters to go and take over the airport and the local broadcasters.
Then he realises that he doesn't have any supporters who are willing to do that for him.
What do you mean you haven't got any AK-47s? What's going on here?
I reckon he's capable of doing it. I don't think he's above it.
Yeah.
He's probably got a Gianni bunker.
Almost certainly. Blatter would have had one installed.
Well, he got one from the previous owner.
So, yeah, I don't see a way out for Infantino at all. That doesn't mean to say there won't be a way out for him because he has very powerful political allies. But I think at the moment, with the way that UEFA have come out, you know what UEFA want. They don't want a 64-team tournament.
Nope.
They don't want Club World Cup. That can get in the bin. They don't want Gianni Infantino because he loves all of these other things. Oh, this is another thing as well. While all this was happening, Infantino was saying, oh, yeah, by the way, we're having a vote on whether or not we're going to go up to 64 teams week after next, 15th of August.
Is that still going ahead?
Apparently so. There's nothing to say that it's not. Obviously, it's going to be very difficult because if you get people in a room together, they'll want to be talking about other things.
I was going to say. Yeah, that's going to be a... I wouldn't want to be the guy who's managing that team's conversation.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, if it's a Congress and stuff like that and they have to meet in real life.
Yeah. Jackie Weaver will have to get involved in that one, I think.
But it's okay because this time she'll have read the standing orders. Read and understood them. What would you like to see happen, Graham? Obviously, beyond Gianni and Infantino leaving, what do you think? What would you like to see next? What does Gianni plus 1 year look like to you?
Oh, Gianni plus 1 year. Well, hopefully it means a successful Women's World Cup where everyone participates. This is what we're looking at next summer. The best Women's World Cup ever. Actually, a really decent Women's World Cup.
Mm.
And, of course, Gianni is not there.
Yeah.
We have some kindly faced administrator who is in charge, in the interim maybe.
Hmm.
But I think the next person who takes it on a 2 year basis and that's it, they've got to get out of it. And that is completely overhauled to oversee the dismantling of the Club World Cup, to manage international tournaments more, maybe even looking at shrinking the amount of international football we see. But not just to be entirely on UEFA's terms. The World Cup still has to be the pinnacle. Still has to be the pinnacle event. And so we still have to find a way of making sure that that is. And it's every 4 years. It's not none of this every 2 year bullshit, Gianni. No, get rid of that as well. That's in the bin. Yeah, that's how we progress, I think.
Mm. Yeah, everything that you have said, plus the president effectively being an administrator. The office of the president of FIFA becomes more ceremonial than anything else. And so that means more committees with these kind of decision makers, separating perhaps, the commercial, actually separating the commercial arm of FIFA away. I think that actually should happen. But all of this all has to be based upon democratic structures and principles rather than commercial ones, and certainly rather than private equity. and vested interests. So, yeah, I mean, I would go a little bit further in, and I think that actually the structure of FIFA as it is broken. The next guy, whoever it will be, will find themselves in a position where they could end up making the same kind of choices as Gianni. And we just can't have that. I think the institution of the president of FIFA, we have seen it with Blatter, we've seen it with Havelange. Arguably, we saw it with Stanley Rouse. You know, this is not a viable and tenable position. It needs to be completely reformed.
Yeah.
And its power needs to be delegated amongst officials. And I would suggest via committees and subcommittees that decisions are made, and independent third parties.
Yeah.
I think that has what has to happen next. But in the interim, yeah, I agree with you. I like a sort of like rather, you know, perhaps kindly, but nevertheless, a technocrat to just come in and administer things and manage the transition.
Yeah, I think you're right. Make it a figurehead role.
Yeah.
Get a former player to do it for 12 months at a time.
Be brilliant.
Yeah. You are king of football for the year.
Yeah. I mean, determine a vision and, you know, and a way forward and say what you want. And talk to the committees, talk to people and say, this is what we should do. I think we should do this.
Yeah.
This is where I want to go. But you don't get to actually decide. You get to persuade and influence people.
Yeah.
But you don't get to decide.
No.
You know, I think that's as really as far as it's got to go.
Yeah. It's a little bit more than, say, Prince William's role at the FA, isn't it? But essentially pretty much the same. You can't do any damage anyway, put it that way.
But I mean, I think if you had the moral authority, if something was happening, I think if something was going rotten at the FA, Prince William would probably walk in and bang his fist on the desk and say, lads, you've got to sort this out. It wouldn't be his job to say how you do it, but he could demonstrate a degree of moral authority to say, look, this sucks, change it. Do something about it, or I'm going to start blabbing to the press about how unhappy I am.
And that's the stuff you need, isn't it? Well, there you go. We've sorted it all out, haven't we, Terry? I think we've got a plan.
In under an hour as well.
In under an hour, see?
Why don't you people give us some fucking real jobs?
I know. Look, well, listeners, you've got a whole season of this. Yes, this is our first episode of season 18. Season 18. Wow. Wow. We're going to be back next week. Jan's going to be with us next week. He was on holiday. And rather churlishly, he didn't want to come back early to record this. So,
did you ask? Did you really ask him?
Yes, I demanded his attendance. I said, Jan, what the hell are you doing?
I mean, I was in Norfolk, which is still in the same country. He's in Spain, isn't he? Or Greece. He's in Greece.
Yeah, somewhere.
Some place. Yes. Anyway, hope you're having a lovely time.
Yes, he'll be back next week, and we're probably going to talk about FIFA again. But we're going to have a look towards the new season, talk about the stuff that happened in the summer that wasn't the World Cup, maybe. But that is all we have time for this week. So from me, Graham Sibley, and from Terry DeFellin, it's goodbye.
Goodbye, Jenny.
Get in touch with us on Blue Sky or Instagram, where we are at Sound of Football. Or go to sofpodcast.com. Like us, share us, rate us and review us. Do it now!
Nice. Excellent. All right, and so back again on the Monday.
On Monday, yeah.
All right, big man, but I'm going to leave this room because I'm about to die.
I'm going to leave this room as well because it smells.
It really honks. Yeah. All right.
See you.
See you later.